Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Every week I want to try and learn something from somebody who has mastered the art of living well, more so to see if I can potentially get any benefit out of it. Today I'm chatting to mindfulness coach Ellen Schilling, who is with me here in studio. Ellen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for popping into us. Mindfulness, I feel, is something that we've heard an awful lot more about in recent years. How do you define it?
It's living in the moment. It's being right here, right now, not future-based, not past-based, but just living right here in the moment and taking care of what needs to be taken care of right now. Because when you're present, you're at your best.
So explain that. What does that mean?
No, it's such a simple construct as such, but it's quite hard to get our heads around. It's most of the time we're living in the future. We're thinking about what's coming up. We're thinking about what we have to do later on today or what's coming up at the weekend.
Yeah.
We say about 40-50% of our attention is in the future, and the rest of our attention is ruminating on the past. We're not actually living in the moment. We're not actually living right here, right now. Whereas this moment is the only moment we can do anything about, because the future is a construct of our imagination. The past is gone. So if we want to live our lives, we need to be fully present.
How do we train ourselves to do that?
Well, we were born like that. You know, you look at any baby, they're not worrying about anything that's going to happen, when they're going to learn to walk, how they're going to crawl, if they're going to get it right or not. They're just living in the moment. Now, of course, they don't have the responsibility and they don't have the mortgage and all that kind of stuff. But we innately know how to live in the moment because we were born that way. And the thing is that we train ourselves to live anywhere but the moment, because life gets so full of distractions.
Well, we've responsibilities.
Responsibilities. It's always on. We're on social media. We're working. We're multitasking. And that then makes us become trained to live anywhere but in the moment. Again, living in the future or the past.
How did you get into this?
Well, Andrea, I'd love to tell you that it was a real kind of moment of clarity. But back in the day, about 20 years ago, I was working in a job in the bank and I was truly miserable. And I knew that I needed something different. I had my own mental health issues. And basically, I fancied a guy who was into mindfulness and he was doing a course. So I said, I will do the course and we'll get together.
It was
as simple as that. I followed the guy, didn't work out with the guy, but it did spark something in me when I tried it, because 20 years ago, it was something that was a little bit out there. It was very tree huggerish. It was very much about like kumbaya kind of thing.
People really
judged it, including myself at that time. But when I tried it, I was like, because I had that mental health issues and I tried the medical model and I tried loads of other things. When I did my first mindfulness practice, there was a feeling of ease and relief within me. It was like I had taken this long exhalation and I just immediately felt a sense of peace. It was only fleeting. It was only for a moment. But something was triggered in me that went, there's something to this. And I need to understand this more.
So when you say, like, so what do you do when you say you practice mindfulness or mind your mindfulness? Like, what actually does that mean day to day?
That's a great question. It's living in the moment, as I mentioned, but how do we live in the moment? So we need anchors to actually bring our attention back to the here and now. And those anchors are our breath, our body and our senses. So a mindfulness practice would be constantly coming back to the sensations of your breath as you breathe in, breathe out, to how your body is feeling, the sensations of your feet on the floor, your body on the chair, what your body's feeling right now. And then your senses, what do I see, feel, hear, taste and smell? So a mindfulness formal practice would be constantly asking yourself those questions, becoming curious about what you're experiencing in your body, in your senses and in your breath.
So do you train people to kind of, I suppose, reset to learn to do that again? Because we're all busy and we've loads going on and, you know, responsibilities and things we've got to do. And maybe it's not all that important. But how do you kind of, you know, get that reset to start doing
that? It's so important, as you say, that we have that reset, because mindfulness, what I believe from the years of study that I've done, and I'm a biochemist by background, so I have a very curious mind, is it's the antidote to anxiety. And everybody's experiencing anxiety at the moment. Everybody's experiencing stress, whether it's individual stress or collective stress that they're getting. There's a lot going on in the world. So we need to have some sort of anchor. We need to have some sort of tool and strategy to be able to reset. Otherwise, we're going to face things like burnout, physical illnesses. We're going to encounter some physical or emotional or mental issues if we don't have something.
So do you mean yoga? Meditation.
Yoga for some people, meditation for some people. Mindfulness isn't for everybody.
Is mindfulness the kind of the banner? Is that the umbrella of all of this?
It's one way. It's one strategy, you know, but it's for some people, it's too static and they prefer something that's more active like yoga or walking meditation or, you know, things like golf or football. You know, sports are very naturally mindful as well. Anything that helps you forget.
But we all kind of the moment. Like clearer mind, I suppose, and or have some way of doing
exactly.
that. And nearly a lot of things, as you say, even golf, like people might think that could fall under the banner of it.
Absolutely. Things that you're doing naturally are very mindful already. So we do that anyway as ways to naturally reset. We know the ways to relax. So yes, sometimes we just put the banner on it, the name on it, that mindfulness. And the thing is that now in the last 20 years, especially the last 10 years, there's been a lot of scientific research that has backed up the effects of mindfulness. That's been around for thousands of years. It was the Buddha, you know, it was Buddhism that kind of brought mindfulness, that kind of first put that name on it. They call it, it's a different word that they use. But in the last number of years, the scientists have come on board and said, actually, this stuff works. So that gives us permission, especially left brain people like myself, to go, oh, you know what the scientists are saying? Maybe there's something in it.
Yeah.
And then we get all the research that says, oh, yeah, it's really good for you.
It has become a big industry.
It's huge, huge. From where I began, you know, teaching this about 10 years ago, there'd be a few people would turn up and not that many men, actually. But then over the years now, it's actually more and more men. And it's great to see because everybody needs some sort of way to reset. And it's so practical. It's so easy. It can be done anywhere at any time. You know, there's what we call mindful moments, where even just if you're listening now, taking a breath, dropping your shoulders, unclench your jaw.
As I'm sitting here, people could see my posture right now, you know, bending over.
I was practicing this outside when I was waiting to come in and I'm feeling.
Well, that's the thing. I can't
rising.
Clear my mind till after 2 o'clock today because I've about a million things going on in my head at the moment. What's coming up next? You know, emails coming in.
Of course. And that multitasking that we're all doing all the time can actually take its toll on the body. Yeah. So we need some way then. It's not saying don't ever multitask, but we need a reset then, a way to counteract and to balance
I'm
that
afterwards.
I think
I'm probably a candidate, all right, this. Might benefit.
Yeah, so just by dropping your shoulders, unclenching your jaw and taking a breath. That's mindfulness. You just practice mindfulness.
Benefit have you noticed yourself from it?
Oh my God, it changed my life, completely changed my life. And I know that sounds really dramatic and very Oprah.
Yeah, but well, you've made a career, like, you've got the benefit from it yourself personally, and then you've turned it into a career as well.
Yeah, and it became my passion then and has been for a number of years. I do a lot of other things, but mindfulness has always been kind of the one thing that I've kept and one thing that I keep going back to as well, because and I practice it loads of different ways because I cycle and I do all loads of other things. But for me, it changed my relationship with myself. And that was the basis and the crux of my mental health issues, was my relationship with myself.
What would be your top tip for people maybe thinking of, you know, going to focus a little bit more or maybe listening to How I Live Well Today and they're thinking, you know what, I might give this a go.
Yeah, God, I'd recommend it. The apps, there's so many apps out there, but find a voice that you really like. And because a lot of people say go to Andy Pulvercombe with the app, the Headspace app. It's a really famous one. But there's also Calm, there's Budify, there's so many out there. But try one. They're all have free ones. But start really easy and don't say you're going to do it every day. Say maybe I'll do it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 days a week, and see how that goes and see the difference that you have. And try and make that regular. And I'd say after a week or two, you will notice that you're a lot calmer. Your response to situations is different and that you're just feeling a little bit like, OK, a bit more myself.
Yeah, I'm trying to drop the shoulders as I'm talking to you. Yeah, it does actually feel more comfortable.
It does, doesn't it?
Just for sure.
It opens up and you can breathe a little bit better, you know.
Mindfulness coach Ellen Schilling. Ellen, thanks a million for popping in. Yeah, lovely to chat to you today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.